Hey, Katie. Hey, Liz.
Hey.
For everybody joining today, we have Liz Tomforti, author of Rewind It Back in the Windy City series. So thank you for joining us today, Liz.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
It has taken everything in our power to not discuss this book on a previous episode. I'm like, We're waiting for Liz to be here so we can talk about it.
Yeah. Or too much to each other.
To talk about it with you. Yeah, for sure.
How are you feeling from your jet setting around the U.S. for all your signings?
Better now.
You're home. You're settled.
Yeah. It kicked my butt. It was obviously amazing. It was so fun to like be able to meet so many people and go to different bookstores and stuff like that. But I'm a sleepy girl, so I was not getting a lot of sleep. And I was feeling it at the last couple of days. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's been really nice being home. I think I fell asleep at like 7:30 p.m. the first day I got there. Got home and I slept for like 12 hours.
Oh my God.
I was a new woman. It was great.
I'm sure your dog was so happy to have you home too.
Oh, 100%. As soon as I got home, he like laid on me. I was like, oh, aww. Yes.
Like, mom, you're home. This is great.
Yeah. My brother stays with him when I'm gone and he's like obsessed with my brother. So probably was like, I'm also okay if you want to go again.
Yeah.
But
yeah. At least you know when you're out and traveling, he's in good hands. I feel like that's 100%. The most stressful part, at least for me, traveling is like leaving my pet.
I'm so obsessed with my dog that I'm like, I can't not leave him at his own house. Like, someone has to come here, you know?
It's so bad. Yeah, it's so bad.
Hard. Yeah.
It's not like a kid that you can like FaceTime him and have a conversation and like see how things are going.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So. My brother, love him, not the most responsible person, but when it comes to the dogs, he is like the most, I don't trust anyone more than him.
Wow.
So he's obsessed with them. He'll take them on a million walks a day. Like, he is obsessed with the pups. So
that's the best.
He's the best person. Yeah.
That's good. Not to like segue. I mean, I'm just going to do it.
No, so, do it.
No, because now we're talking about dogs. So not even segueing into Rewind It Back, but was your dog, I guess, an inspiration for like the seeing your dog like aspect of Mile High or like Rosie's character like at all?
Yeah, not necessarily my dog, because when I wrote Mile High, Luke was only like 4 at the time. But I have a bunch of brothers, but one of my brothers also had a senior dog at the time and he had rescued her, so I think maybe it was more on her. Her name was Zoe. She passed away a year and a half ago, but she lived a long, great life. But I think maybe part of that, I'm also just like such a dog lover.
Yeah.
And I'm such a senior dog lover. Like Luke, even though, again, he was 4 when I wrote that book and he is turning 9 this week. Well, I guess he's probably 5 when I wrote it. He has been a little man in a puppy body his whole life. So I just like love the senior dog mentality. Like, that's my vibe. Like, naps all day.
If my dad had his way, he would adopt senior dogs and just like give them the best end of life. I will say 100%. Not to like put a damper on this conversation, but with this span of like 4 months, we put my family dog down and then we had to put, I adopted Tom's dog as my own once we started to date. Bear became mine. That is like the hardest thing in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And like, he jokes all the time. He's like, what would you do if I came home with a dog? I was like, well, honestly, we'd probably get a divorce because we have 2 children under the age of 2. Yeah. I can't take on another responsibility.
A little busy.
But like, I'm like, I would do it. But like, it hurts like a whole different level of hurt.
Yeah.
And also, they're just such pure beings.
I know.
They don't do anything wrong. You know,
they're like children. Good. They're so pure. Like, how do you?
They love you. Like, you're their whole life. And then,
I can't think about it. Let's segue. I'm sorry. I was an asshole.
let's talk about my 2 dead dogs.
Great. Hey, I mean, you dropping the dead dad joke, so
I do. I promise not to drop them today. We'll try to keep it upbeat, but I do love to throw one of those out here. Anyway, I guess into Rewind It Back, like, let's just jump right in because obviously the final book in the series, and I would say the most different as far as you know, the flashbacks go, and just like all of that. So did you find it, I guess, more difficult to write this book because you kind of had to think in past tense as as well as like what was happening to them in the current.
I think actually the hardest part about writing this book was actually just the expectations on it in general. Mm-hmm. Obviously, being the last book in the series, but on top of it, it's also a character that people have known for 4 books already, which is not the case with all the books. Right. And so I think that was the first thing until I decided what this storyline was going to be. And then once I figured that out and I was like, well, no one really expects this anyway. So there's kind of no expectations now because like it's completely different than what people would have expected, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And so that kind of helped take the burden off my shoulders a little bit. And then as far as the flashbacks, it was just, it wasn't actually hard because of that. It actually, for me and my like, the logical side of my brain, it was actually really fun to find these pieces that could be mirrored past and present and like show the first time and show how it happens in the present. I really enjoyed that. It was like also this thing of like, okay, how do I not interrupt the story and how does this add to the story? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think I put all the tropes that most people don't like love to talk about how much they don't like, and I put them all in one book, which was like flashback scenes and second chance and whatever,
you know.
But I loved it, right? I want
to come back to those people because like I will say I've read books where the flashbacks become like their own, it's almost like two stories in one. Like I think you can overdo a flashback where
for sure,
like you're so impressive in the sense that like this is your first series. And I feel like even with Mile High, I'm kind of with you. I know you were saying even at the Brooklyn event for Rewind It Back, like you were just vibing and writing.
Yeah,
but, like, I could have read 500 pages more. Like you have a you have a gift.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Like sweet. Like it's kind of crazy. Like you're kind of a genius. I'm impressed. I mean, I don't have a lot of street
cred. I don't feel that way, but I'll take it.
No, it's so good. But I feel like you gave enough to like understand like the deeper connection, the deeper meaning between the two, like his family connections, her family connection. Like you gave it to us, but like in this amount, which I feel like it was the perfect, okay, we're there. And then we splash back to like where we need to be.
Yeah. It gave a really good understanding of like seeing them fall in love as teens.
Yeah.
And then understanding the depth of that relationship while we're reading them currently.
Yeah.
And like really being able then to root for like, sometimes I think in second chance romances, which are my favorite, so like anyone who has any shit to talk to, talk to me directly.
Seriously.
But I feel like sometimes people like is like, oh, well, like what happened? Or if they broke up, like then they should be
together. Yeah.
This one you're like, you're fine. I mean, we could talk about the reason. I'll throw hands, but yeah, so like I don't even know where I was going with it, but basically like I just felt it was so easy to want these two to be together just because you got to see them fall in love the first time. Yeah. So it just made it so seamless.
That and like kind of going through a kind of speaking of like the pure, like when you're growing up, like you think you're invincible, right? Like nothing can touch you. You're a child. Even when you start hitting like those older adolescent years, at the end of the day, like what have you experienced outside of your small bubble of life? Maybe some more. Yes, I know there's some people, like there are some outliers there, but like the general aspect, like I look back at 18-year-old Kate and I'm like, girl, you knew nothing. Like you experienced shit. Like you were just this little like thing, but his world came crumbling down. Like what he looked up to all of his life smashed to pieces.
Yeah.
That's a big moment. And it like you can understand, you don't know how to. You know, Mel Robbins, I've been very into like the self-help books lately because I have hashtag anxiety over here, but you're not born with instincts to deal with your emotions. You have to be taught them. You have to learn them. You're 18. Even now, I'm 35 and I still don't know how to freaking manage my own emotions most days. Like I have to check myself. So like, it's a normal reaction what he went through. So like, I feel like it just made so much sense for them to wind up back together.
Yeah, 100%. Because again, I think what people have a hard time with second chances is like somebody did something wrong in the relationship. Neither of them did anything wrong, and like it's funny because I'll see people be like, you know, there's this miscommunication, and I was like, even if like she would have told him everything, like that's actually not the point. The point is that like his whole worldview of like love and relationships just got pulled out from under him. That's actually, like, regardless if they had a conversation about the time, he's not going to be okay. So, no. like, it, I I have never viewed it as a miscommunication. I understand Same. How it could be, but like, to me, it's like, no, it's actually just like a 20-year-old man who had this picture perfect ideal of like, this is what my life looks like. And now none of it is that. Mm-hmm. And who also like, because of the person he is, like he holds a lot of weight in that kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know. And on top of it with doing the flashbacks, like I wanted to like just kind of do something out of the box for me. So that was part of it. Part of it was also you have one book to meet Hallie and fall in love with Hallie and root for Hallie and want Hallie with a fan favorite character of four books. So it's like, you have to like, you can't just like have some random girl walk in and be like, she's really cute. I think let's have a story about her. It's like, there's gotta be some depth to it and some like rootability for her as a character. And I think showing her with him this whole time, like, I don't know. To me, it was like the right way to end.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean? Have her in one book.
I feel like if you wrote like a story where someone, it was like a random someone, I would need a 1,200-page book to convince me that this girl is worthy of Rio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it. And then, you know, as most readers are harder on the FMC, there's that aspect too.
So true.
So now we're throwing in somebody who has one book, you know? And so, yeah, I think it really was just showing how much she loved him and they loved each other from childhood. Like, I feel like that was like the only way I could have done it, you know?
So true. I know. So Mile High was supposed to be a standalone. You're just so cool. So Rio has been present since the beginning.
Yeah.
I guess it's like a double-edged sort of a question, because obviously this is supposed to be a standalone, so I don't know how much of a thought you had for any other characters, but I know sometimes you always have like those, well, what if? But like, Rio start out, even as you continued on, right? Because like, he wasn't even supposed to have a book. Like, was he this like, just, like, I think of him as like a stick figure guy, right? Like, he's just, what you see is what you get. There's nothing else past that surface. Like, when did he start maybe kind of, even though you may have not wanted to potentially give him his book, like, when did he start becoming more to you than just, you're just that cutie little side character with golden retriever?
Probably the right move with his friendship with Indy. That's like one of my favorite things in the whole series is how much they love each other. Yeah. And then obviously the whole gimmick with like him and Ryan has always been fun, but like, if you think about it, like, in the right move, he straight up was like, you can't come in my house because my friend's in here, but like, I'm obsessed with you, but you can't come in here, you know. I would say probably the right move is when I got bombarded with like Winsrio's book coming out of Mile High, and I was like, what are you talking about? He's a side character. And then for some reason he just wrote himself into the right move so effortlessly, and then I was like, okay, yeah, he will be getting one. When that happens, I don't know, but
one day
he will be. And I think what was hard for me too is because he was 22 and in Mile High, that I was like, I can't write him yet. Like, there's just no way.
He's too baby.
And also with talking about doing like the flashbacks for him, like, it just makes sense because he's just so pure too. Like, having that first, like, childhood love, like, and being able to see it, that's, to me, now that once I picked that storyline, I was like, yeah, it can't be anything else, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It made the most sense for him, and it's so funny. So, leading up to Rewind It Back coming out, I went and I listened to all the audiobooks of the previous four, and it really is so funny, you know, in every book, he's like, is she single or whatever? And then when we get to Rewind It Back, they're like talking about some I think it's who's going to be working like with Miller and he like doesn't ask anything and they're all like, are you okay?
It was really fun to write in because it's kind of the first time this is my poor planning, is like I had never really like fully introduced someone besides Rio. Like, early in the series you can like build over the time, you know? So Kai quickly met before his own book, Isaiah quickly met before he got his own book, so it was really fun. Too. Also, I'm now going on 3 years of being tagged in like things from readers, so I'm getting these reminders of like real moments.
Yeah,
and it was fun to take all these things that I may have accidentally, without thinking, written to him as a character and implemented it into his own book. It was again that like kind of logical side of my brain where I was like, okay, well, this fucking boom. Sorry, can I say that?
Boombox. Do you not know us?
This freaking boombox he's been carrying around for four books has to have a meeting I don't know, just all of it. It's like every little thing
that your brain like did that and then it evolved into this. I don't know, that's like the stuff that's wild to me.
To be honest, like when I look back at each book I've written, every book has done that in its own. Simple things that are those like full circle moments are mm-hmm. not things I necessarily planned until I got there and I said, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. Even with Mile High, the very first line is like, I hate road games, and then it swings back around to say like, he says, I love road games, and he hates road games.
Yeah.
Same thing with like Miller double fisting in the elevator, and that's then so double fisting with champagne. Yeah. Like, these are all things that like I didn't plan until I was in it and doing it. And then with Rio, it just happens to be, it's that, but it's like four books worth of that.
Yeah. So crazy.
So
I was going to say, like, what was, I wanted to just ask for Rewind It Back specifically, but we can do it for the whole series. Like, one of your favorite scenes to write, I guess amongst all five of them, or like any scene that you were just like, you wrote it and you're like, oh my God, like I did that.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard because once I put a book out into the world, I kind of file it away. Like it's kind of, you know, so when people come up to me, which is partly why I don't do quotes at book signings, because someone's like, can you write a quote in this? And I'm like, I couldn't tell you what that book's about. completely forgot. but for we'll take Rewind It Back because it's the freshest in my mind. There's the girls' night scene, like right before they sleep together for the first time. And I had done the flashback scene and I knew it was leading up into this, like they're going to be together for the first time, but there had to be this bridge. Mm-hmm. And I just kept being like, what is that bridge? I don't know. And I was like, let's try a girls' night. And it ended up being my favorite chapter I wrote. Like, I love their dynamic. And so sometimes it's those really unplanned things, you know what I mean? That you just end up loving. And when I think of Caught Up, for example, there's, I love so much of that book, but like I think about the time that Kai like slept in her hotel room, but they didn't sleep together, but they slept mm-hmm. next to each other. I like love that. I love that morning after when Monty catches him in there. Like, just some, I don't know. I think about those little things and I don't know. I love Play Along. I don't know. I love that whole book too. That was fun.
that book was gold. I mean, every book was gold.
Thank you. I always knew Isaiah's storyline was like the anxiety, and I knew what those scenes were going to look like, but I was surprised how much I loved them when they came mm-hmm. out, like Kennedy laying on the floor with him. I loved The Right Move. Like, specifically, there's a scene before they're together and she's like in the kitchen washing dishes and he like comes up behind her. Mm-hmm. And then she like sits on the counter and then he like opens her legs and grabs a spoon to eat yogurt. And he was like, I'm celibate. I like loved that scene for some reason. Yeah. I don't know. The random ones just stick with me, I guess.
I feel like it is those random scenes, but it's so like life in those random moments that are kind of like the ones that I feel like you like replay. I don't know. Like, for me, it's always just those like little like cute moments versus like the really big ones.
Yeah. Sometimes when it's like I overplan a scene, I'm like, okay, cool, it's out there. But it's these like really organic ones that kind of build themselves while I'm writing the book without me necessarily planning them. And those are usually the ones that I'm like, oh, that's, I love that, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I love that.
Do you feel like, and I mean, I know we'll talk more about Rewind It Back. Like, again, I know this wasn't all planned, but like, how do you feel that this is like, this is the first series you've written. Like, how do you feel that it's finished? Like looking back, are you like, like, this is like, just so good. Everything I wanted is out there.
Yeah. It's exactly what I wanted it to be, so cool. Without knowing that's what I wanted it to be, obviously. But yeah. And like, one of my good friends, Allison, see her, she's working today and we're talking about something. And I was like, I feel like I'm on summer vacation all of a sudden. Like, I did all these, I'm like, for the last 3 years, I've been like, okay, I got a next book, they're building on each other. And I'm like, okay, it's done. Like, the world's built, it's there. And I'm like, wow, I'm on summer vacation, but I'm not, because I do need to start writing. but it feels like, not like a weight's off my shoulder, because I've never felt that way. I've never been like bogged down by these characters and these stories. I've really loved every part of it. And that, hopefully that shows in the stories, but it's a weight of like, knowing I did them justice, I guess, mm-hmm. more so. And so I feel like that's the nice part. It's like, I feel like they're exactly what I wanted them to be. I feel like the stories are complete. And yeah.
That's awesome.
And like, so going from indie to traditionally published, is there now like a different kind of like timeline for things? Or I guess like, like, what does that look like for you? Like, what has changed in your like writing journey at this point?
Yeah, it's a little different. It's not drastically different because I'm not fully trad. I'm just print trad. Right. So indie, I'm still indie with audiobook and ebook.
Okay.
But it's definitely like you still have to get your book a little bit earlier to get to printers and stuff. But Entangled is such an indie author friendly publisher. Like that's their MO. They're like, we want to help you reach more of your audience. They've been really, really lovely. And so it's not like, oh, I need to get it a year in advance.
Right.
We need to start showing the cover a year out. And we need, like, they really are, like, as far as marketing, it's like, we're still doing on an indie timeline, which is like,
that's cool.
You know, that 2 month window of like, let's hype this up. Let's talk about, it. Okay, here it is. Instead of being like, okay, in a year and a half, you're going to get this book, you know?
Yeah.
So yes, it does need to be them a little bit earlier. I think with Rewind It Back, so I signed my deal with Entangled while I was halfway done with Rewind It Back. So like my timeline couldn't shift all that much. So we did push, originally I was thinking end of April, we pushed it to end of May for release. And then I had to turn it in probably a week and a half earlier than I was expecting. So
okay.
It wasn't crazy. It was doable. And they've been really, really great about like working with me on my timeline. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. They've been awesome. So it's been good. It's a really good partnership, I would say.
That's amazing. Congrats. That's so wonderful. How does it feel to be outside of the like the flight attendant world? Like is this like so surreal these past couple? I can only imagine how you feel these past couple years.
Yeah, I've never really let myself let it sink in, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I've always been like, go, go, go. And then quitting my job officially last April was kind of like a,
oh, shit.
It's hard a little bit, but it was like I held on to that job longer than I should have.
Gotcha.
Because that's like my mentality. Like I've always had like three jobs. I'm like, you just keep going, you keep grinding. And then all of a sudden it was like, I don't have enough time in the day to like write a book that's due. Like that's where we need to like shift some priorities here. Every summer is always pretty mellow for me when I was flying for hockey. So like that didn't feel different.
Okay.
When it started amping up again in October, I was like, oh, it's weird, because like I'm not the one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little strange. And I was supposed to be going on one trip a month still, to just like, I don't know, part of me was like, I'm gonna miss this too much, like I need to still do it. So in October, starting October, I was supposed to be going on one trip a month, but my mom had, right when I started writing Rewind It Back, she started having some health issues, and I didn't feel comfortable leaving like to the other side of the country or to Canada. So it's like I kept pulling myself off trips. And then finally, I went on a trip in March. The book was done. I was in this break between finished writing and release. It was 2 days. It was to LA, so quick hour flight. If something was happening back home, I could get home quickly. So I was like, I'll go. I was like, how did I used to do this? It's red eye flights. And just like, I don't know. I was like, okay, this is my sign. Like I made the right decision.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
It's fun to see everyone, but. It was fun to see everyone, but it was like this confirmation of like, oh yeah.
An organic phase out. Like, I know it's now time.
Exactly.
Plus, like, this is like you want to do this, obviously. It's not like, oh, I have 100%. To go right again. Like,
no.
Right.
Like, I literally have like my dream situation. I work from home for myself. My best friend is she works for me and she's my neighbor. So like, I have such an ideal situation. I also love my house. Like, I don't like to leave my house.
Oh my God.
So, So it's been really like, it's been great, and I'm very, very grateful, and it's just wild to think about how life has shifted over the last 3 years. It's pretty insane.
And the flight attendant to author like pipeline is not something you often see.
Not the most common thing for sure.
So do you have like a background? Were you like an English major? Did you have
I went to my community college to play volleyball, and I didn't even get my AA. I was like, okay, my 2 years of playing volleyball are done. I'm gonna go to beauty school. I did hair for 12 years.
I still can't believe that when you said that. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. So the whole time I was flying, I was also doing hair. I literally stopped doing hair in January this year.
Oh my!
Because
when
I like,
she's busy. She doesn't just mean normal busy. She means like,
no. Like if I have more than one day of like nothing to do, I'm like, something's wrong. Like there's like, I need to be doing something. Which also like, I love to be lazy though. That's like the weirdest juxtaposition about it. It's like, okay, like, but my brain won't turn off. It's the weirdest thing. Anyway.
Yeah, I get that.
So no background whatsoever. I, again, had no idea what I was doing. I was just like, during the 2020 pandemic, I was like, I'm just going to write myself a book and that'll be that. And then in 2022, I self-published Mile High. But again, I put my name on it thinking like, no one's going to read this. So like, I'll put my name on it. I'll have a copy for myself. There's that. And then things changed quickly in like, in a pretty wild way. Obviously, again, very, very grateful. Quick learning curve though. Like, I didn't know anything about the book industry. I didn't know there was like a huge social side to it. I didn't know any of this. And so I was kind of jumping in and like trying to just figure it out while I was going. But I'm so grateful for that too. It's not that I'm not, I don't want it to seem that I'm not. It's just, it was so different than like my real life all of a sudden. It was a pretty wild turn of events.
So I have two questions. Who did you have read Mile High first? Like when you finished, or did you have someone read like throughout the, like what was the process? Cause you're writing it for you, but then like, how did it?
Yeah. Well, Mile High was on Wattpad first, which is like a free writing and reading website. So I was just like upload, which is also why it's so long, because you don't realize how long books are when you're on Wattpad, because you're just uploading chapter by chapter.
Okay.
So yes, I was writing for myself. I was putting it on Wattpad so I could read on my phone. And then I was like, I'll publish it and I could have a print copy of it. So a bunch of people read the rough draft. And even when I published it, it was pretty close to still the rough draft. Like if I were to go back and change things, I probably could, but I also never would at this point either. Like I could probably, you know, take out multiple filler chapters and stuff.
Please
but
don't.
Again, I wouldn't.
Don't touch it.
Yeah, no.
You know,
I wouldn't. So a lot of people read it. A ton of people read it.
That's so cool.
And I had 200 pre-orders and I was like, this is sick. Like,
wow.
Cool. Maybe I can, you know, help pay a little bit towards my bills. And then kind of things took off from there. It was pretty wild. I would say, so I put that out in June, and then by September, Christy, Read Between the Wines on TikTok, mm-hmm. she had a viral video about it, and that's kind of when everything changed.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is so freaking cool.
I know.
That
wild.
Needs to be a story. Like, that would be a cool story.
Oh, man.
How much
of, and then we're always talking over each other, so I'm always like, I know, what are you done? How much of yourself do you feel like is reflected in your characters?
I think every single character has a part of me, and I think actually every author could probably say that as well. There's certain characters who are the least like me, like in the way Indy is with her friendships and like the fact that she like loves people and like loves everyone, like we're not the same. I'm like, I can lock myself in my house and not talk to anyone for a week, I'll be okay. But truly, the romantic in her, that is me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like obviously I write romance for a living now, so like there's every character is a piece of me. Isaiah with his anxiety. I had turned 30 and got anxiety all of a sudden.
Yeah, what the fuck's
like,
up with that?
Yeah, that was wild. I was like, holy crap. So that obviously not from the same things. Mine's not based off of that, but the same feelings.
Mm-hmm,
Hallie and Stevie are probably the two that are the closest to me, most related to me. Stevie was really like kind of a journal when I was writing that one. Hallie, kind of the same thing actually, because of what I was going through at the time. Miller, I would say her career part. Miller is the character I want to be. Miller's the person.
Doesn't want to be Miller. Let's honestly say.
Let's just call him.
But her feeling towards her career at the time, I had just put out The Right Move, and like again, things changed very, very quickly for me, and I was like, whoa, I went from zero people looking at me to a lot of people looking at me and having these expectations for this next book, and like that's really scary. And so all that like career pressure was written off of me. Kai was maybe not me, but like exactly who I want to date.
Yeah. That's like one of my questions. I was like, if all the boys were going to be single, who would you go for? I mean, who wouldn't go for Kai?
It'd be Kai. I mean, to be honest, like Monty will be.
Oh, I cannot wait for Monty.
Monty is like my perfect man.
What I find so funny, sorry not to cut you off just because you're saying Monty, actually no, finish your thought first.
That was my thought. They all have a piece of me, and I think I can speak for other people when they say that's also the same way most authors write their characters.
Okay, now to Monty, the moment we've all been waiting for, because everybody, when we first meet Monty, obviously everyone is like salivating for him. And then we meet Reese. So like, I'm sure that your DMs were like just infiltrated.
Yeah.
But what I think is so funny about Monty is he's like what, like 45, 46?
Yeah.
He's like, he's young. He's hot.
He's only 10 years older than you and I, Teresa. So that's not out of the wheelhouse.
He's also only 13 years older than Kai. Like, people don't put that together. I'm like, that's
what I was going to say. People, like, when they, like, I saw a fan cast and it was this, like, old, like,
70-year-old guy. Man.
Yes. And I was like, oh, no. Goodness. I'm like, Gabe Kepler. Like, yes. Gabe.
This happened in my Facebook group. Somebody was like, posted Gabe Kepler, and I was like, yeah, that's like, I'm a Giants fan. Like, you figured out the inspo, right?
That's amazing.
And then someone else had said, no, he's way too young. And I was like, Gabe
what
Kepler
are you not
is
reading
older.
People? Yeah.
Yeah.
Gabe Kepler is older than Monty. And then they had put the picture of this 71-year-old man. And I was like, that man could be Monty's dad. Like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Reese is 35, which is how old I am, and Monty is 45, 46, which is the age I would like to date. So,
you heard it here, folks.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So we're all in the same age bracket, and most of them, I mean, my husband's a year younger than me somehow, like that happened. But the men that I typically like, I'm attracted to are all in like, they're like early to mid 40s. Yeah.
And you can't look at Gabe Kapler and be like, I don't want to read about that guy. You know?
Don't want to read about that.
Yeah, they're like, give me that, please.
100%. Yeah, and he's just, I've said this a few times now, but I think of all the characters I've written, I think he's like the most deserving of a happily ever after, and so I'm really excited for that. Yeah.
I'm really excited for that as well. I know, because obviously he has like the more tragic past, I would think, with like you know, losing Miller's mom. So he was so young, what, he was like 20, 21, having to really step into a father role. I'm just like you said, he's the most deserving character of the series for this happy 100%. Ever after.
100%.
I'm like very excited to like, I kind of hate like the term like boss bitch, but like Reese,
no, she is.
She really is. Like, and like, she is like the definition of boss bitch. And I'm so excited to see where you go with this story. How much of it do you have written?
Not a ton of it.
Okay.
The announcement happened a little earlier than we wanted to because of a few behind the scene reasons. Mm-hmm. So my plan was to have 50% of it done before anyone found out about it. I'm not quite there, but that's my summer project. I'll turn it in September and I'll have a blast. Just stayed at home writing this book. I've been thinking about that book since March of 2023. And so I'm really excited to get into it. And then part of me is also like delaying really getting into it, because I'm like, I don't want it to be over though either, you know? So yeah.
Okay. So I have a question. So if you're, I don't know if you're a phone conversation person. Like, I don't really like to talk on the phone too much. But, like, sometimes you want to, like, shoot the shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which girl would you call if you wanted to just, like, gossip a little bit, chit-chat, catch up?
Yeah. If I wanted someone who was just, like, if I wanted someone to talk shit with me, it would be Miller.
100%.
If I wanted someone to give me, like, sound advice, maybe Hallie, maybe Kennedy.
Yeah.
If I wanted someone to just, like, to my horn, I would call Indy.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends what your needs are for the day.
100%.
Yeah.
My sister and I, like, when my sister's younger than I am. Funny enough, when she turned 30, I feel like 6 months after she turned 30, I remember her, she called me and she's like, what the fuck is turning 30 a prerequisite for like anxiety? I was like, welcome, we can talk now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, anytime, like, if she's like, hey, I need to like, just like shoot the shit, I'm like, well, what do you need me to be today? Like, am I listening?
Yes.
Or am I just giving you advice?
She's like, exactly.
Said to me. I'm like, okay.
That's why I love the girl group so much, because they obviously all get along so well, but they're also different and bring such a different aspect to
they
the
bring
girl
a
group.
Different piece. Yes.
And it's, I feel like, and they all, you know, have just met within the last like 5 years in their timeline, or 5-6 years. And there is such a difference. Like, I have, like, some of my best childhood friends that I've been best friends with forever. And, like, you kind of grow in, like, into that.
Yeah.
But, like, friends that you meet as adults are, like, kind of, like, a new breed of friendship.
Yes.
And I feel like that is, like, what – I think that's why this series is so amazing, because there's a lot of series where, like, if the men are swoon-worthy, like, I can, like, talk shit about some of the female main characters. We are harder on them for some reason.
I think everyone is.
I have, like, not a – like, I – love the, I think honestly, I love the girls more than the boys.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not always typical in a romance.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the girls. I think they're great. And I think I've also been very conscious to make sure, like, we're not doing the damsel in distress type situation or making, I hate the word irrational because it's not always irrational, but you know what I'm saying? Making like decisions that like, mm-hmm. you're just kind of like, okay. And it's like giving the man the opportunity to like step in and be this amazing hero, which is great. But I tried to focus on like, yeah, there might be a little bit of those moments that like, you know, Ryan might buy you a house, Rio might buy you a house. Yeah. Okay. But overall, I just want them to be like very, like equal partners mm-hmm. in relationships. And I think in that, my hope is also that people love them equally as well. You know what I mean?
But I think like, that's the beauty of like writing. I mean, it's kind of mm-hmm. nice. Like you could find a book tailored to something that you're experiencing. If you just look like very quickly, but yeah. I think it is kind of nice to not have just to have like a normal relationship, like something like with mm-hmm. Haley too. Like, and I know her bills come from medical stuff for her father, which mm-hmm. there's people out there that do that. But like, it was kind of nice to read someone who I could be like, wow, girl, I fucking know what bills look yeah. like. The loans are just outrageous.
100%.
Yeah.
Paychecks go to that. So like,
yes.
Nice to be able to kind of see like, oh, you seem like an average girl, not like, oh, I have loads of money because, you yes. know, I have trust fund and this. Or
yes, exactly. Like,
even like the friendship, like, it's so hard as an adult to make friends, especially new ones, mm-hmm. and also to retain some friendships because like everyone's lives are busy. So it's like, it's just kind of, it was like a nice, like, oh wow, like it's hopeful. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, like, oh,
I think, yeah. And I've got, especially on tour, I got a couple questions of like, how did you do the found family or how did you do these friendships? And I think a lot of it is actually, it's unintentional, as you've figured out with all my writing. but I think a lot of it is like based off of accidentally my own friendships. My very best friends I met, I have four of them basically. Three of them I met at age 23 and one of them at age 26, and they are still, and I'm 35 yes. now, and those are my people. And that has never changed, but they're my adult friendships. And I look back and I have childhood friends who, like, if I heard from them or we run into each other, I'm like, oh my God, so good to see you. But there's also this like beauty of like not having mm-hmm. the old you. Like, people change, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially before they're 25. And so like, it's kind of this beauty of not having like, oh yeah, you knew me when maybe I wasn't the nicest person, or maybe I did something really embarrassing or whatever it is. And it's like, well, I now you know me as an adult, you know what I mean? So I think maybe unintentionally, accidentally wrote those into my characters, but I also do have like the best adult friendships because, yeah. you know, so yeah.
And you keep saying, oh, sorry.
Because my cousin brought her to a family event and literally like dumped her in the living room and ran away. And Teresa's like, hey, I'm T. And like,
yeah.
now my entire family is like, well, if anything ever happened, which it obviously will not, Teresa, but like, chill out and keep Teresa.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Obviously. No, but you keep saying like, oh, unintentional, because you weren't planning yeah. to write this series. Yeah. But we do know what your next series is yeah. going to be. So
yeah.
that is going to be, you know, intentional, right? Like, we know we're yes. going to get like Ren, and we know we're going to get her brothers. So do you know who's getting the first book? Like, do you have all of this planned, or are you just kind of like, these are the characters, but I'm going to figure it out when we get there?
I mostly have it all planned. I know who the first book is. I think I know who the second book is, mm-hmm. but I also still want to give myself that, I don't want to change like my process too much at the same time, even though it was unintentional. It's like, you do want to like, it's honestly not me. It's like the characters. You want to give the character space to like decide what's going on. Mm-hmm. And, so yes, overall, I kind of think I know at least the first two, if not honestly all. What I think is four books, but I don't want to pigeonhole it too much. And that's right. Honestly a lot, like, I figured that out very early on with writing, is like, I don't like to pigeonhole myself. And so when you meet a new character that's going to get a book, previously, you get very little information about them. And that's mostly because, like, I take these, like, 3 months before I start writing, and I have this whole, like, creative, like, storytelling in my head, and I, like, build this whole world and the storyline, and I don't want to have ties to something I said before. Mm-hmm. However, Rio is different because I could build this whole relationship from the ground up because no one knew about her and no one actually even knew that he had ever had a relationship. Mm-hmm. But then I also did have little ties of like things about him, but it wasn't necessarily storyline. It was more so just like personality quirks and stuff like that. So yes, I have a plan for the next series, but I also don't want to like put myself too much in a box too early on with it either.
So exciting. I can't wait. Are you excited, like timelines? Or is that
No. It's my, now that I'm full-time writing, I figured out that I can write a book a lot faster than I used to be able to. I used to be able to write like in the 2 hours, like on an airplane while we were like flying home in the middle of the night. So now I have a lot more time. And so I can kind of, I can plan a little bit better as well because of that. So I think starting in 2026, it'll be 2 books a year release for me going forward. So what's kind of nice about the Windy City. Yes. What's kind of nice about the Windy City re-releases is it's kind of buying me about 4 months, you know, like, so I can, my plan is to get a book ahead. By the time Monty's out, I should have the next one already done. So that's kind of the goal. Yeah.
I know, there's just so much to look forward to. And I always feel bad being like, you just came out with this book, so what are you going to do next?
For sure, for sure.
But I think it's probably a good thing that, you know, people are so excited.
Yeah, and like, I've quickly learned that it's hard for people to let go of things, which I understand. Mm-hmm. For me, it's different because I've lived with these people in my head for 5 years. You guys have only had them for X amount of hours. Like, it's different. And so for me, I'm like, they did their time. I'm ready for everyone else. They're like, we need more. And I'm like, you don't, though. You got everything, I promise. But I've quickly learned it's hard for people to, like, fully be like, okay, I'm good with that. And it's like, I understand wanting to know, like, what can I look forward? Like, what can I now look forward to? Mm-hmm. So I totally get that. So that was kind of my goal with writing the Wilder family into this book a little bit, is just being like, there is this. I'm trying to make it obvious. So,
Yeah, I know we talked about this when I saw you. I was like, it was so funny because I was like, oh, it is so obvious. But then I saw people being like, ooh, like, I figured it out. And I was like, I think that we were supposed to.
That killed me that, like, I have a hunch, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I may as well just said, like, this is what's happening next. Yeah. I thought I did. So anyway, yes, that's what's happening. I try to make it as clear as day. I mean, half the brothers already have names. Like, I wouldn't be name dropping them if they didn't. So
yeah, no, I know. I'm excited for them.
Yeah.
I was just going to say something, and now I completely lost my train of thought.
I stopped speaking because I was like, oh.
Oh, no, the epilogue. Obviously, I have to bring up the epilogue again because I'm notoriously non-emotional. I don't get emotional over sad things. I don't. Yeah. I know it's very weird, but I think stoic.
Some people like that. Yeah.
But this wasn't a sad ending, obviously. This is a happy ending. So, like, I'm reading it, and when Rio starts going through, and he's like, you know, going like one by one, like I watch Stevie, like whatever, and Xander's, and like he's, and then he's like, you know, it ended with the 10 of us how I was supposed to, and like I'm getting chills right now talking about it again. Literally, like I had full body chills, like I was like, my like eyes were like tearing up. I was just like so happy reading it. Like, it was really bittersweet because now you're saying goodbye to all these characters that you love, but it was just like the perfect ending to this series.
Thank you.
I just, like, how did it feel writing it?
Well, I have a 2-minute video of me writing those last pages, and I'm like sobbing. I don't think I'll ever show it. It was like the first time I was like, I really need to get some Botox in my forehead. Like, it was so bad. I looked like a hot mess on the couch. My dog's probably like, what is wrong with this woman? But at the same time, I knew those last 2 pages before I knew anything else. It was the first things roughly I had written in my notes app for this book was, I think I said, like, Rio narrates all 10 characters. And then I knew those last couple of lines. I had those written in my notes app right away. And part of it is, like, you don't really understand it until you're on a deadline. You have this, like, okay, I just got to get this done. And part of it's, like, like this thing I've worked for so long. It's like, I want to bask in this for a moment. So it's this thing of like, you keep powering through, you're on a deadline, but then it's also like, I want to sit with these characters and like feel all these things. But I do have that video. It's a hot mess. but again, with like, I like to let people think that I knew what I was doing, when again, I had no effing clue what I was doing. But when I look back, I'm like, things also worked out the way they were supposed to, maybe without not me knowing. But like, of course Ryo's book was last, because who else would be able to narrate all 9 of his best friends, you know? Right. Once I knew that was how the book was going to end, I was like, literally no one else can finish the series other than him. So yeah.
That's so cool. I love that for you.
Thank you. Happy accidents, you know?
Happy accidents.
Literally.
Movie. Can't think of the movie right now, though.
Happy accidents?
Oh, it's from Pitch Perfect, yes. When she gets pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
And then I listened to, I told you this, but I had to download the audiobook for my mom, who just got in from Italy today, so she's very excited to start now that she's home and can like, you know, do her like little like paint by numbers and or whatever.
Yes, I love
the
that.
Crystal art and listen.
Yes.
So I listened to it because I was like, okay, well, like if I have it, and I just did all the other audiobooks. So I literally finished like an hour ago, and then Megan Wicks and Connor is it like, I think it's Crace.
That's how I say it. I say Crace. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. They are just phenomenal together. They also recently did Left of Forever, the two of them. They're just like a really good duo. Mm-hmm. But Megan Wicks doing Ryo's mom. Katie, I have to send you a snippet. It sounds exactly like Katie's mom. That's how Katie's mom talks. I'm not even kidding. I was like,
I
was like, Aunt Deb.
I love that. Megan's incredible. Megan's a stage actress originally.
Okay.
And so she came from theater, and she'd done Caught Up and killed Caught Up, if you did. Yeah. Like, she's phenomenal with Miller. Megan's also the only audiobook narrator of mine that's made me cry at my own stuff. Oh, wow. And both books. She did it with Mile High Caught Up and Rewind It Back. She's incredible, but she's a stage actress, and also the fact that, like, I don't know if you could tell when you, what's that?
That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if you could tell, Teresa, when you listen to this, but like, she obviously has every voice different for every girl. Mm-hmm. I knew right away when I was listening, I was like, she went and listened to the other audiobooks.
Yes.
Because it has the same vibe. And the fact that she has that much range is wild.
Yes.
She's incredible. She's also like an incredible human being. I really love her. We live in the same place, so we've been together multiple times.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So we've hung out a couple times, and she's just fun. And she did my release night event with me in Sacramento. She's so awesome. But a couple people in my real world have been like, well, Ryo doesn't have an accent in the book. And I'm like, I didn't want to listen to a fake Boston accent for 12 hours. That was a personal preference thing. So his mom's the one who got the accent. So
yeah.
A mom's accent, I think, just like seals the deal.
And it's like the little like Italian. It's like the, it's giving, I know a million people, but I was, I'm going to send a blurb to Katie later so she can hear it and play it for her mom.
Okay, last question before we take too much of your time.
Yeah, perfect.
You mentioned in Brooklyn that Elizabeth O'Rourke is one of your favorite authors, or is your favorite author.
Yeah.
Actually, you two are the ones who turned me on to her, because I didn't know what to read at that book event that came out last year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
last
year. And the bells, like, Teresa was like, you're giggling in bed. I was like, shut up. But you write such great serious moments, but we know how to weave in some great banter. And we know Elizabeth O'Rourke is like queen of like great banter and humor.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, because, and I'm sure you probably read her before you were writing, do you feel like that was one of those like good takeaway moments for you, where you're like, this is like selling right now for me, so like I want to do the same?
I actually didn't read Elizabeth until I was in the book community. Yeah. So probably, I don't think I started reading her maybe until 2022 or 2023, because I didn't know how to find books like when I was just a reader, you know, like I didn't have social media, you know, for this stuff. So that was part of it. Part of it is that if you know her in real life, like that's just kind of how she is. She's dry and she's effing hilarious. And so I think it's also like a lot of the humor in the books, my books is my humor. And I think that's where it is. Yes. But Elizabeth's books
is her humor.
And people, not necessarily that people know her, but she is dry. And like, amazing. I've just like always loved her. I sat next to her at a dinner a couple months ago and it was like the best hour. She was just so funny. And she's a little bit older than me. And I just constantly kept saying in my head, I'm like, that's how I want to be when I'm her age.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
What is follow up, I guess? Like, what is, if somebody who's listening now, because we turned Katie on last year, if you were to like be like, okay, start with this book or this one of her series, which one would you recommend to somebody who's unfamiliar?
The Devil series. All of them start with book one. Yeah. Those, I think she's great with everything. But if you're looking for that like really sharp humor, that's what you need to read. Yeah. She's so
that's
good.
That's what hooked me. And then that's the one that we made Katie start too. So that's
so good.
At night, like giggling to myself.
Yes. It's such like smart, witty, dry humor, and it's quick. And I don't know. I need to go reread those. She's so good.
One of those quality traits that like I really am envious that anybody has, because I am just, I'm the girl 3 hours later in the shower going, motherfucker, this is what I should be with.
100%. But it's funny because there's different characters that are different that way. Like I say this quite often, but Xanders and Miller, like, had such a good time writing them because it was the first thought that came to my head. Like, there's no second guessing them. And so some characters are just that way. You're like, it just flows because you're not like holding yourself back at all. So yeah,
that's pretty neat.
It is. I love that. Thank you. I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
I was going to say, we appreciate it. We know how tired you were. I know you had to reset your social battery. So
we're back on it. We're good.
Yeah. I'm glad that we got this opportunity to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course. I mean, you can come talk to us whenever you want, even if it's not about your books. If there's a book coming out and you want to talk about somebody else's, join us.
Perfect.
But yeah, we're so excited for what you have coming next. We're excited for Monty and Reese's book and for the new series. But we just want to congratulate you on another amazing New York Times bestselling book.
Thank you.
That's really exciting. And we can't wait to see what else you have next coming.
Thank you. I'm excited to share. So yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Liz.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.